part number 8. I apologize again for the delay. I had to leave town this morning. I'd forgotten I was ministering out of town, and so I'm not broadcasting from my usual location, but I definitely wanted to keep this appointment with those who've been tuning us in every week, and hopefully those who may have tuned in at 7 or 7:30, the original time, are still involved in this particular broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning us in. I'm so excited about sharing these prophetic messages with you on a consistent basis, and I've gotten so many testimonies from people who are blessed by, have been blessed by the previous programs, and this is part number 8. And again, if you've not yet had a chance to view the previous lessons, you can always go to our websites at CrusadersChurch.org or JohnEckhartMinistries.com, and you can view the previous teachings. We've covered a lot of area concerning prophecy, personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, the ministry of the prophet, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, prophesying as a result of that. And I know that many of you, this is new for you. Maybe you've not known much about the prophetic. Maybe some of you have more experience and understanding in this subject, so these teachings are just stirring you up of things you already know and hopefully getting you moving again in the prophetic realm. And my vision is to really see more churches, leaders, pastors operate corporately in the prophetic, because it's been such a tremendous blessing to our church, Crusaders Church of Chicago. Every Sunday, we have such powerful prophetic releases in our church. And this past Sunday, we had a word that came concerning God marking us for blessings. Before that, we had a word about a downpour coming to our house. And almost every week, we've been seeing such a release of God's words over individuals, over the church. And it's so refreshing and so much blessing connected to prophecy, until I want to share it with everyone who is listening and hopefully impart some information, knowledge, and understanding to you. Of course, I'm ministering from my book on the prophetic called God Still Speaks. And if you've not yet written and received a copy of this book, ordered a copy, I want you to do that. Just simply go to JohnEckhartMinistries.com after the teaching today, and you can order the book. We'll get it to you as quickly as we can. And today I'm going to be starting on chapter 5 of the book, page 47. If you have the book, you can follow with me, and we'll go to chapter 6 and spend more time. Last week I began a teaching on the shamar aspect of prophets' ministry. And the word shamar is a Hebrew word that means to encircle, it means to surround, it means to protect, like a fence surrounding a vineyard, or like a wall surrounding a city. And we talked about the fact that one of the functions of prophets in the local church, according to Ephesians 4:11, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then it talks about, I'm sorry, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The verse I was quoting before that is 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. So prophets, or the prophet's ministry, is a ministry that's set in the church by God, one of the fivefold ministry gifts. Everyone is not a prophet. We're not trying to make everyone a prophet. Everyone can prophesy to some degree based on your gifting, but everyone is not a prophet. So we're dealing more with the prophet's ministry. We talked about personal prophecy, prophesying according to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, edification, exhortation, comfort, confirmation, some of the blessings of prophecy. Now we're dealing more with the prayer aspect of a prophet's ministry. Often people in our churches who are called into the ministry of prayer and intercession have prophetic callings upon their lives, and their prayer ministry is a barrier, a wall, a fence against any satanic or demonic invasion that is sent against a church to destroy it. Often the lack of this in local churches has led to many churches being destroyed, separated, divided, confusion, because we've not understood how important the prophet's ministry is. Remember in the last program, we talked about the fact that in the Old Covenant, prophets were called seers, S-E-E-R-S, because they see things. They have visions. They have dreams. They were to see not only bad things, but also good things. They have the ability to see things that are coming, things that are manifesting, things that are invisible to the natural eye. And so they were called seers. They had the ability to see into the lives of people, see events that were coming, see invasion of the enemy. Joel saw locusts coming against Israel. They often saw invading armies approaching and would warn Israel concerning judgment and clouds and armies coming, locusts and cankerworms, palmer worms, caterpillars, because they were seers. And there's a seeing element to the prophetic that gives prophets the ability to see things. And often what they see are the plans of darkness and the operations and strategies of hell against a local church. And they're able, therefore, to stand in a position of authority and power and rebuke, deal with any strategy of hell against a pastor, a church, a local assembly. And so they have what we call a shamar, or protecting anointing through prayer, through intercession, through their preaching, their teaching. And the foundational verse that I use for this study is taken from the book of Hosea, chapter 12 and verse 13. Hosea 12 and 13 is really referring to the ministry of Moses. Moses, being a prophet, also had a shamar type ministry in praying and interceding for Israel. It says, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. That's the deliverance aspect of the prophet's ministry. Many prophets have very strong deliverance anointings that destroy yokes, lift burdens, break people free from all kinds of bondages through their preaching, their prophetic ministry, their ministry in general. It says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. That word preserved is the word shamar. It means to preserve, to protect, to keep, to guard, to watch over. And so prophets often are called watchmen. They are spiritual guards. They stand in the gate. They have a ward, a place where they are assigned by God. This can be over a local church. This can be in a region. This can be in a territory, a city. It can also be in a nation. All prophets are not the same. There's some national prophets, some local prophets, some prophets that are dealing with cities that God plants in cities to pray for that city, to intercede for that city, to guard, to protect, to stand in the gates, to stand in the gaps, in the hedges, to make sure the enemy's plans are aborted and canceled. And it's a very important ministry that needs to be identified and released in the church. And God has set it in the church for this particular reason. Now, I want to go to chapter number 6 and pick up on the chapter called Prophets at the Gates. In the Bible, we're going to talk about watchmen today. In the Bible, watchmen were positioned at the outer defenses, the wall of a city, or the hedge fence of a field, or in a raised outlook or tower that overlooked the territory that needed to be watched. A watchman is one who stands guard. Ancient cities had watchmen stationed on the walls. Their responsibility was to sound a warning if an enemy approached. You see that in 2 Kings 9 and 17, Ezekiel 33, verses 2 and 3. The Israelites were also positioned watchmen to serve as sentinels over their vineyards and fields, especially during harvest. Their responsibility was to guard the produce from animals and thieves. In a similar way, Israel's prophets saw themselves as watchmen, warning the nation of God's approaching judgment if the people did not repent. Today, one way of identifying their position and role is to say that the watchmen guard the gates of a local church and more. If you read scripture with the word gates in mind, you begin to see this connection everywhere. For example, consider the following passages from the Old Testament. I want to read Isaiah 22 and verse number 7. You can write these verses down if you can't follow me. Just write them down and refer to the verses later. Or if you have the book on page number 88, you can read along with me. Isaiah 22, 7. And it shall come to pass that the choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. These are verses that talk about the gate. Psalms 147, 13 and 14. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Judges 5 and 8. Then was war in the gates. And then Daniel 2:49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Gates are entry points, and they need to be strengthened in order to keep the enemy out and to keep the people and all that they possess safe. The prophet's ministry helps strengthen the gates so that the children will be blessed and peace will be within the church. With the benefit of the protection of the prophetic ministry, the church will be filled with the finest of the wheat or prosperity. That verse is taken from Psalms 147 in verses 13 and 14. I want to read those verses again. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. Notice when the bars of the gates are strengthened, the children within the walls of the city are blessed. He maketh peace or shalom in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. What a powerful verse that talks about the strengthening of the gates. Now, one of the things I believe that when you begin to strengthen the prophetic ministry in a local church by teaching, preaching, identifying, activating, imparting this particular gift, calling and anointing, recognizing prophets, raising up strong intercessors, strong prophetic prayer warriors within the house, is that you literally begin to strengthen the gates. The gates of a church are the entry points. Now, there can be many different gates. The music ministry can be a gate. The elders can be a gate. Almost any department within a church is an entry point, a gate within that local assembly. What we don't want to see in local churches are thieves, robbers, false brethren, individuals who have the wrong motives coming into the gates of a church, getting involved in ministry, and bringing disruption or bringing attack or bringing devastation to a ministry. Prophets have the ability to discern, to see, to pray, to stand in the gate. It is a spiritual position to protect the church. We're talking about the shamar aspect of the prophet's ministry. Often pastors have been taught that they are watchmen, and they are. Pastors are guards, but often pastors have not been taught the importance of having others in the church, prophets especially, that are called and anointed by God to be watchmen, to be those that stand at the gates, to be those that protect through prayer, through intercession, the walls and the city of God. The Bible likens us to a city. It says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Individually, you're like a city. Churches are like cities. And every ancient city had walls that would protect that city from any outside invasion. And there was safety within the city. When the gates were closed at night, no one could enter the city. The watchman's job was to stand on the watchtower and to make sure that they observed any approaching danger and to warn the city and the inhabitants of any approaching danger. And they provided a very vital function in being watchmen. So often in Scripture, you see prophets referred to as watchmen, as those who stand at the gates, as those who are there to protect. Now let me read on. People who serve in the office of the prophet need to have an understanding of gates and entry points in their churches, their cities, their regions, and their nations. Having a revelation of gates and their importance will help prophets defend these entry points from invasion by the enemy. What are the entry points? What are the gates of a nation? What is the doorway whereby things come in? For instance, Hollywood can be a gateway where things come into a nation. borders and entry points in the physical are gateways. There's some states that I call gateway states where there's a lot of things coming in, a lot of traffic. Florida is a gateway state. So it's not surprising that God would raise up very strong prophets in Florida, other port cities where a lot of traffic comes in, individuals come in. These are gates, and not only do people come in, but they bring ideas, they bring things with them. And it's important that we stand at these gates in the spirit realm and pray that nothing illegal spiritually would come into our nation. Often nations, because they've not understood this important ministry of the prophet, have been invaded by all kinds of demons, demonic ideas, demonic philosophies, because often prophets did not take their place. And I don't want to just make it look like prophets have not taken their place. I believe a lot has been thwarted because of faithful intercessors and faithful prophets that have stood in their positions of authority. Who knows, as bad as people say America is or has become, who knows how bad it would be if prophets had not taken their place in intercession and prayer in the past. So we never know just how much the enemy's plans have been thwarted. I know that demons, devils hate prophets because prophets thwart their plans. Gatekeepers, watchmen, shamar prophets, intercessors are a hindrance to the work of the enemy. So no wonder the enemy does not want this ministry developed, released, or activated, because he does not want his motives, his plans to be stopped. But thank God, God is raising up strong prophetic churches. Every city should have a strong prophetic presence. Every church should have a strong prophetic presence. Every region, state should have a strong prophetic presence where there are prophetic people, prophetic churches, and prophets that really pray and see in the spirit realm in that region and use their authority and power to stand against the works of hell that come to kill, steal, and destroy. We need this kind of ministry. It is important. It should never be taken lightly. Often churches have mocked the prophets, have mocked the prophetic ministry, have said we don't need that. No wonder there's so much devastation in some churches. I've seen churches destroyed. I've seen churches that were powerful that ended up being destroyed by strife, division, Jezebel, witchcraft, carnality, lust, perversion, divorce, separation, pride, rebellion, false doctrine, false teaching, because they had no prophets or no prophets to warn or to stand in the gap and pray and intercede for that church. And as a result, that church was destroyed by the works of darkness. So it's important that we do recognize all ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but we're focusing now on the ministry of prophets. It's important that prophets take their position where God has assigned them, their ward, their gate, their watchtower, where God has assigned them. God will assign prophets to local churches. God will send prophets or raise up prophets within the local church who are committed to that church. They're not just prophets of doom and gloom. They're prophets who are part of the fellowship. They love the church. They love the house of God. They support the pastor's vision. They're there to pray, to protect, to watch. They have no other motives. They're not there for their motive or their desire or their agenda. They have one agenda, that is to see that church continue to expand, to grow, to advance the kingdom, that the anointing of God, the Spirit of God remains strong, purity and holiness remains strong, love and humility remains strong, the gospel, the word remains strong, leadership, marriages remain strong, every area is protected through intercession, the children's ministry, the youth, the marriage ministry, the men's ministry, the woman's ministry, the unmarried ministry, every ministry, praise and worship, the preaching, the elders, the pastors, evangelism, the prophetic, the prophets, all the ministries of a church, the outreach, the community, the missions, every department needs to be covered in prayer by strong prophetic intercessors. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're not a prophet, you don't see things. Every believer can see. Every believer can have discernment. Every believer can prophesy. But prophets have a unique, strong anointing and ability in this area that is given to them by God, whereby they have a power and authority resident within that gifting that really operates on a higher level. and how bad we need this kind of ministry in the local assembly, in the local church. Now, the different gates in a church, praise is a gate. The praise and worship is a gate that needs to be protected and covered. Many ministries are ruined because perversion gets into the praise and worship or the choir or the music department, or rebellion or pride gets in, or religion or tradition gets in, stops that church from moving in powerful praise and worship. Seers are able to also cover leadership. Elders are gates. It's important that we don't get people in leadership position who have the wrong spirit, who are there to separate, to divide, who have hidden agendas, who are not qualified, who have ungodly character, immoral. They have an Absalom or Jezebel spirit of rebellion. These things cannot take root in a local church because it will end up destroying the church. Now, how is this prevented? Well, the prophet's ministry is in this, a church on page number 90 under preventing destruction, page number 90. It says a church will lose its protection if the gates are destroyed. The destruction of a gate results in unwanted things entering in. Demons can enter a church and establish strongholds if the gates are open. A destroyed gate means that nothing can be closed. In the city, desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. Isaiah 24 and 12. When a gate was destroyed in a city, we know that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed the gates, destroyed the walls, invaded the city, took the people into captivity. We know that Nehemiah was sent by God to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates. There is also an anointing, I believe it's apostolic, represented by Nehemiah, that can rebuild and restore gates that have been destroyed by the enemy. And that's the whole ministry of the apostle. Prophets can also operate in that. But when a gate is destroyed, or when a gate is open, the Bible says, he that breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. When a hedge of protection has been broken, or a gate has been broken or open, the enemy is able to come in and wreak havoc. Prophets are called by God to help stand at the gates through intercession. It's a spiritual gate, not a physical door, a spiritual door. To stand at the gate of intercession, to be watchmen, to be seers, to see anything in the spirit, whether it's Leviathan, pride, whether it's Jezebel, witchcraft, whether it's perversion, lust, whether it's false doctrine, false teaching, whether it's carnality, whether it's slothfulness, apathy. These are things that can, whether it's marriage-breaking spirits, which is also connected to Leviathan and pride. They're able to stand in the gate and see and stand against it, and take authority and rebuke and bind the enemy and prevent the enemy from doing what he wants to do. Remember, the Bible says, by a prophet, Hosea 12:13, was Israel preserved. They were shamarred. They were protected by a prophet. And it goes back to Moses. His intercession preserved Israel from being destroyed. His prayer ministry. Prophets do more than prophesy. And just because you prophesy does not make you a prophet. Prophets preach, they teach, they prophesy, they pray. They have a ministry that goes beyond just saying, thus saith the Lord. All believers can prophesy. He says your sons and daughters will prophesy. That doesn't make you a prophet. Prophets have more to do. They have an assignment. They have a calling. They're raised up in a church. They're called to a church. They function in a church. They should be recognized by leaders, set aside, released in their gift and calling. I believe that every prayer ministry in a local church needs to be led by a strong prophet. I believe that every praise and worship ministry needs to be led by a strong prophet, because praise and worship by nature is prophetic. But especially the prayer ministry, we should assign strong prophetic type people that oversee our prayer ministry. They have a desire to pray, but they have an unction to pray and to see. They have discernment, and that will do more for your church than almost any ministry. That will protect your church, keep your church. Doesn't mean that you won't have any problems, but the enemy will not be able to stop the move of God and the plan of God for a local assembly when you set prophets over the prayer ministries of local assemblies. the stronger that anointing is in the prayer ministry, the greater that prayer ministry will be, and the more they'll mobilize others and shamar and protect the local assembly. The gate represents the place of authority, and the enemy wants to unseat that authority so that he can plunder the inhabitants and usurp the authority for himself. The inhabitants cannot effectively counter the enemy's advance unless their defenses are coordinated by someone with the proper authority to do so. We'll talk about authority in a moment. The prophet has the spiritual authority to stand at the gate and challenge the enemy. Now, that is one of the ways you can recognize a prophet. It's not the fact that they can prophesy. There's an authority that they carry. When they pray, when they prophesy, when they preach, there's an authority that is resident within that anointing. It's a mantle. There's an authority God gives the prophet. And that authority is recognized in the spirit realm. Demons recognize authority. Remember they said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? They recognize people with authority. They recognize apostolic authority. They recognize prophetic authority. They recognize pastoral authority. They recognize the authority of the elders. Authority is real. And authority gives you the right to stand in a position and to function in that position. And it's recognized in the spirit realm. Angels recognize spiritual authority. So we need people in those positions of prayer, intercession. They not only pray, but they have an authority in the spirit. When they pray, you can sense their authority. You can recognize the authority when they pray. Not only do you recognize it in your spirit, but demons and devils recognize it. When they decree things, when they speak things prophetically, there's an authority there. Remember what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. I've set you over nations and kingdoms, even though he was a young man. I've set you over nations and kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. There was an authority in his words, in his mouth, to root out, to pull down, to throw down, to destroy, to build, and to plant. God gave him the authority over kingdoms and over nations as a prophet. So there is an authority within the prophetic office that is recognized in the spirit realm. And when that authority is exercised in prayer, in preaching, in teaching, in prophesying, in decreeing, in worship, wherever it's released, it's recognized in the spirit realm, and authority gives you the right, and power gives you the ability to deal with any opposition, any attack of hell, and it prevents the attack of hell. It's like a military. The military has authority to protect the country. Every country has a military, whether it's Navy, Army. One of the primary functions of the military is to defend the country, to protect it from any invasion. If the military is weak, that means another force can come from the outside and take over the country. With a strong military, because they have the right to protect, they have the weapons and the right and the authority to operate, it protects the country. Same thing prophetically. Prophets are protectors. By nature, they love to protect. By nature, they hate the works of darkness. Now, there are many of you watching me now, you're what I call a prophetic type. Your nature is prophetic. And one of the things you really hate is to see the enemy operate undetected and unchecked in the church. That really bugs you. That really bothers you. You see it, and when it's not dealt with, it grieves you. It vexes you, because that's what prophets do. That's a prophetic type. They hate the operation of the enemy. They stand against it. They don't compromise. And when it's not dealt with by the authority of the house, by the leadership of the house, it grieves them, because they don't want to see the plans of hell prevail, because they have insight. They see. They know what's going on. And they have a passion to see God's purposes fulfilled, and they hate and they grieve. You know, one of the saddest books in the Bible is the book called The Lamentations of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet. He warned Israel. He was a watchman. A judgment came because the people would not listen. Sometimes there's a warning aspect to the prophetic. Sometimes you can't stop the enemy if people don't respond to the word of God and allow the enemy to come in. And so you end up weeping. like Jeremiah. The city's burned up, the gates are destroyed, the walls are destroyed, and he weeps because he saw it coming. He warned Israel, they would not listen. He warned the kings, the leaders, they would not listen. He prayed, he interceded, he stood in the gap. But he really could not stop it because so many gates were opened spiritually by the sin and rebellion of the people. And then he writes a book called Lamentations, which is a book of weeping and crying, because prophets weep and cry when their words are not heeded, when they see devastation. They have such a heart and a love and a compassion for the people of God. And when the enemy is not stopped and when the gates are destroyed, it will grieve the prophet. It will hurt. Some prophets have this, and they say, I don't like it. I don't like to feel this way. Well, it's the gift. God gave you that heart. It's really a part of the heart of Jesus. Jesus, the prophet, the heart of God. God by nature protects and shamars his people. He that keeps Israel or shamars Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It's the nature of God. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit to protect, to cover. And sometimes it's just like the Holy Spirit is grieved. We end up being grieved because we see the enemy coming. We stand at the gate. We pray. But if the people don't respond and if they don't repent and too many gates are open and too many hedges are broken, then the church ends up being destroyed and you end up weeping like Jeremiah. Again, you can rebuke in the gate. That's on page number 91. The gate is a place where the enemy can be rebuked. To rebuke means to force back. A rebuke is a sharp reprimand. A reprimand is a severe or formal rebuke by a person of authority. The verse I want to give you is Amos 5 and 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate. And really, that's the prophet's ministry. The prophets would always go and stand in the gates of a city and rebuke the people that were coming in, rebuke them for their sin. Isaiah went to the gate of Jerusalem, and when people were coming in, he would rebuke them in the gate. That's a part of the prophet's ministry, to stand in the gate and rebuke. And rebuke, again, it means a sharp reprimand. A reprimand is a severe or formal rebuke by a person in authority. Demons need to be rebuked. They need to be beaten back. Prophetic intercession rebukes the enemy, and it takes place in the gates, the very centers of traffic and business in every area of the kingdom of God. Spirits of witchcraft, lust, rebellion, deception, pride, Jezebel, religion, and carnality must be rebuked in the gates. This will prevent them from entering in and destroying the church. Needless to say, demonic spirits do not yield quietly to rebuke. They will resist and struggle. They hate the gatekeepers, the prophetic watchmen who interfere with their evil plans. And so this is the ministry of prophets. How we need this in the local church. We need more than just pastors. We need more than just teachers. We need prophets. Thank God for pastors. They are also watchmen. They guard. They watch. Many pastors are very prophetic, which is also important. Thank God for teachers. They instruct in the word, give us to stand on the word. But sometimes you need the office of the prophet that comes to bring repentance, correction, adjustment, so that the people of God will not have open gates in their lives, the church will not have open gates for the enemy to come in. Sometimes repentance is necessary to mend the gates so the enemy has no place to come in. Can you imagine a fellowship where everyone is walking in love and walking in purity and walking in holiness, and there's no, they give no place to the devil? The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Can you imagine a congregation where everyone is walking in the word? Well, unfortunately, that often is not the reality. But thank God for the prophet's ministry, because they can see in the spirit the weak points, the sin, the carnality, the disobedience, the rebellion in the church, and they can come, not with all the time with a judging, harsh word, but even come in love and bring correction. And often God's people are open to it, and they repent. They come to the altar. They change their ways. They deal with issues in their heart, whether it's unforgiveness, bitterness, hurts, whatever it is, pride, rebellion, whatever it is, and those gates are closed. So it's more than just praying. It's more than just dealing with demons. Is also closing gates that are opened up because of disobedience and rebellion in the church. It's also often bringing correction, adjustment, repentance, exposing the works of darkness, and how badly we need this kind of anointing to operate in the assembly. Well, I want to, I'm trying to take questions if you have any. You can post them if you're at the Hangout, the Google Hangout. You should be able to post them on the page, and I can spend some time answering questions. But I do want you to get a copy of this book called God Still Speaks. Everything I'm sharing recently is from this book. It's my book on the prophetic, and it's a book that will give you a lot of insight, understanding of how the prophetic operates in the local church. There are many different aspects to the prophetic. There's personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic presbytery, prophecy from elders. There is intercession, prophetic worship, prophetic counseling. There's different areas where the prophetic is operating in the church. In our local assembly, Crusaders Church of Chicago, we've been operating in the prophetic since 1989, so now 25 years. And we've learned some things. We're not perfect, but we're still learning. We have prophets in our church that are recognized. We have prophets that are over our prayer ministry. We have prophets that are over our worship ministry. We have prophets, prophetic teams. We have prophets that do personal prophecy to people that come to our ministry. We have visitors every week. We make sure they get prophetic ministry. We have corporate prophetic teams that prophesy on Sundays when we worship God and the spirit of prophecy comes. We do prophetic presbyteries. We have prophets available when we ordain ministers and release them. We have prophetic presbytery times of prophetic gatherings where we let the prophets and other prophetic gifts, apostles who prophesy, come and prophesy over people extensively. So we've seen the blessing of the prophet's ministry and the prophetic ministry in our local assembly. So I'm not preaching something that I don't practice. I'm not preaching something that I just read in a book. I'm sharing with you as a pastor the great benefit this ministry has been to my local assembly, how many lives have been changed by personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic presbytery, how many lives have been changed by prophetic intercession, prophetic worship, the song of the Lord, prophetic singing, how many lives have been changed by prophets who preach and teach and prophesy, healings and deliverances have taken place. So I know the blessing of this gift. It's not the only gift in the church. We believe in evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles. We believe in gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, all the different areas of the prophetic. But it is such a great, great way to pastor a church. I don't know where I would be today without the prophet's ministry operating in my local assembly. I can't imagine living life without the prophet's ministry. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a prophet, if you're a prophetic type, even to get this book into the hands of a pastor or a leader. Sometimes pastors just have not read or really studied the subject or never been taught this subject, or they've seen the false prophetic manifest and never had a chance to see the true and the blessing of it. And so maybe put a book in their hand or pray for them and hopefully begin to see the prophetic level in a church beginning to rise. I do believe that the prophetic level can rise in a region. I always use this, the story of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel, when he was born, the Bible says the word of the Lord was rare or precious in those days. There was no open vision. And so God begins to raise up this young man, Samuel, and give him the word of the Lord. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 10, when he anoints Saul to be the first king of Israel, he tells him, when you lead me, you're going to meet a company of prophets. So we see now in Israel, not only is there Samuel, but now there are companies of prophets, because Samuel began to train prophets, open up the school of the prophets, began to identify young prophets, began to father them and train them and teach them. And then in 1 Samuel 19, we find that there was a place called Ramah where Samuel was based, and he trained the prophets, and the prophetic spirit was so strong there that when Saul came after David, when he came in that atmosphere, he fell down and began to prophesy. When he sent messages, they came down and they fell down and began to prophesy. The atmosphere of the prophetic was so strong. So So there can be prophetic atmospheres in regions and prophetic places and prophetic churches where the prophetic has been developed to an extent where whoever walks into that atmosphere will get an impartation and begin to operate in a higher level of the prophetic. And I believe that God wants to do that in churches and in regions around the country. He wants to raise up churches that have a very strong prophetic atmosphere, like a Rhema, R-A-M-A-H, that's Samuel. He wants to raise up fathers, prophetic fathers like Samuel, that will identify prophetic types and help them develop in their gift and in their calling and release them and begin to raise the water level of the prophetic. And also prophetic Samuels that will raise up the intercession of a region, that will raise up the prayer level of a church so that you begin to pray prophetically. We're not talking about religious praying. We're not talking about just praying something that you think you should pray. We're talking about praying prophetically, hearing the voice of God, knowing what God's purposes are, seeing the purposes and plans and visions of heaven for that region, that church, that particular ministry, seeing the operation of the enemy and standing in the gap and making up the hedge and rebuking in the gate and preventing the enemy from doing his part, being seers, hearing the voice of God, having an unction to pray, prophetic praying. It's powerful. It will do so much to preserve your church, to preserve the ministry. Again, it doesn't mean that your ministry will be problem-free, but I guarantee you, your ministry will not be devastated and destroyed by the thief, the devourer, and the spoiler. It'll not be destroyed by serpents because of disobedience, rebellion, pride, Jezebel, witchcraft, and other things, division, sectarianism, and heresy, and other things that come in to destroy immorality, that to destroy a church because you have a strong prophetic presence. The enemy hates and fears this anointing. He's always hated prophets. That anointing has always been a thorn, for lack of a better term, in the side of Satan. Prophets have the ability to see. Remember that Elisha knew all the plans of the Syrians that they were planning to invade Israel. And every time they would invade Israel, Elisha would tell the king of Israel where the enemy was coming. Until the king of Israel, a king of Syria, said, "There must be a traitor in my camp. Who's revealing this to the king of Israel?" And the Syrians even knew that it's none of us. There's a prophet by the name of Elisha that knows everything that's going on in the king's bedchamber, everything that's being spoken in the war room. We can't hide our plans from him. He knows, and he's the one telling the king of Israel. So they then plan to go get Elisha and stop this, and they come to get Elisha, and the servant of Elisha says the Syrians are here, and Elisha asks God to open the eyes of the servant, and the servant's eyes are open, and he sees all these chariots of fire from God protecting the prophet. And that's a sign of prophets. They're seers. They see things. Sometimes they're afraid of what they see. They don't like what they see, but they see it. It's a gift. It's a grace. It's to defend Israel, the church, to defend the people of God from the attacks of hell, from the Syrians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all the enemies that want to come and destroy us. And we need that kind of anointing in the church. We need it to be raised up in every church, every city, every region, every state, every nation, because it is an important part of what God wants to do. Let me read some more on page 91. I just read the verse. It's in 2 Kings 6 and 12. It says, "But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." So often a prophet will be able to warn a leader, a king, a pastor, about an encroaching enemy, and the warning will prevent a disaster. Sometimes the best defense is simple prevention. Elisha was able to warn the king and prevent him from being ambushed. The prophet's ministry is preventive. It is better to prevent something from happening than having to react to it after it happens. How often we're trying to react to something after it's taking place. We get ambushed. We don't know. We're caught off guard. And we say, "Where did that come from?" As a pastor, as a leader, I didn't see that coming. Well, prophets will help you. Prophets can see things coming. Doesn't mean a pastor can't see things. Everyone can see. Prophets can be, pastors can be prophetic, but sometimes we need the discernment of the prophet, the seer ministry, to really locate and detect the advances and plans of hell against a particular church. Now, I mentioned this verse last week, Isaiah 28, 21 and 8. My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I'm setting my ward whole nights. The ward. Notice that Isaiah had a ward. Well, what is a ward? A ward is an interesting word. In Hebrew, it is the word mishmereth, meaning watch, the sentry, the post, preservation, office, ordinance, a safeguard. It is from the root word mishmar, meaning a guard. The prophet Isaiah was set in his ward. Set in the ward, the word set, rather, is the word natsa, meaning a station, a pillar. Since a ward is a means of defense or protection, and ward is the root of the word warden, and since a warden is a person who guards or has a charge of something, prophets are spiritual wardens. They're like sheriffs in the spirit. They guard, they protect, they keep the enemy in, keep him locked up. They have been set in a particular assigned position, and they help guard and protect the house of the Lord from the enemy. Many local churches have been defenseless against the enemy because they do not have prophets stationed in their wards. Not only must local churches have prophetic wards established to preserve the church from the attacks of the devil, but also the prophets must station themselves in their respective wards like spiritual superintendents. They must watch and pray to fortify the church, protecting the church from spiritual infiltration. The prophet was set in his ward whole nights. I believe this can be a reference to all-night prayer. Sometimes the Lord wakes up prophets in the middle of the night to pray. Prophets sometimes have watches where they have a certain prayer time. They especially from midnight to 3, 3 to 6 at night, they wake up, they pray. They pray for the church, the pastor, the leader of the city at night. Night is the time when there's the most spiritual activity in the dark realm. And often that activity is not dealt with until we have intercessors and prophetic people who can even deal in the night watches and deal in the night season. Now, I'm not saying this to make you afraid or to make you think it's always demons attacking, but the plans of hell, of darkness, are real, and the enemy does not want to see churches advance, prosper, break through. He does not want to see healthy churches. So he does anything in his power to infiltrate, to ambush, to attack, and he has to use gates. But thank God for gatekeepers and people who are spiritual wardens. I want to read Isaiah 21 and 6. For thus saith the Lord God unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. The watchman. Set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. Isaiah 21 and 6. Shamar prophets, or watchman prophets, have been set or put into their proper or designated places, and these are the places in which they will have the strongest ability to see with spiritual vision. They will be able to see with spiritual eyes that can penetrate the impenetrable. They will be able to see what others cannot see, and they will be able to say what they see. They will make themselves. Let me say, oftentimes as a pastor, I've gone to the prophetic intercessors in our church, and I ask them, what are you seeing? And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be bad all the time. Prophets can also see good things. I want to emphasize that. I don't want to stay in the dark or negative realm, because some people have the mentality that all prophets do is see evil, demons, witchcraft. They can see that, but they can also see glory, revival, breakthrough, prosperity, finances, salvation. They can see that coming to a church. They can see things be released by the heaven upon a church. But sometimes I've asked of our prophetic leaders, our prophetic intercessors, what are you seeing in prayer? What is God showing you? I need to know as a pastor. And they'll tell me. That helps me as a leader to know what is going on in the spirit realm concerning our local assembly, what I need to preach, what I need to deal with, what I need to pray about, what I need to stand against, what adjustments I need to make. So it's really a great, great help and a great, great benefit for the local assembly. The prophets, in the Old Testament, prophets were called seers, and they are still seers today. Every local church needs seer watchmen. From earliest times, watchmen prophets have helped prevent the enemy from destroying the people of God and their property. Many things can be prevented through the watchmen prophets ministry. It is the will of God that many things be prevented. Everything that happens is not necessarily the will of God. Prophets help us prevent things that are not the will of God. Synonyms for prevent means including obstruct, hinder, hamper, block, impede, interrupt, interfere, stop, put a stop to, halt, check, arrest, abort, frustrate, thwart, foil, restrain, hold back, oppose, prohibit, neutralize, and turn aside. These words help us better understand and visualize how a watchman watches. Now, once you set watchmen in place, intercessors, and many churches have this, I understand. I may be bringing clarity to what is already in place. We had a tendency to call people prayer warriors, intercessors, when really they were prophets or prophetic types. But we call them prayer warriors, intercessors. We've always had that in the church. Thank God for that. But now this ministry is being better identified, and the authority is being better recognized, and more honor is being placed upon them as an integral part of the church and ministry. Many are being set aside, ordained into these positions as prophets in the local assembly, recognized by the house, recognized by the leadership, honor placed upon them. And I think that brings great blessing to the church, not just somebody just prays and they come and pray and we don't really recognize or honor them. It doesn't mean that you have to have honor or a title to do this. It doesn't mean you have to be ordained to do this. There are many people that have no title, no position, but yet they're faithful, and yet they're prophets. It's not defined by title. It's defined by the function. So we're not trying to get everyone a title or a position or fighting for a title or fighting for a position. We're talking about function here. But it should be recognized by the assembly, by the house. Honor should be placed upon it, because wherever there's honor on a ministry, the ministry will function greater. Remember, Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown because of unbelief. He said a prophet is without honor in his own country. And because they didn't honor him, his anointing couldn't function. So it's important to honor these gifts, respect them. Doesn't mean we lift them up. It doesn't mean we put them on a pedestal. Doesn't mean we idolize them or worship them greater than they are. It's a grace gift. It's a gift from God. But we do honor them, respect them, bless them, and even pray for them, because when honor is placed on a gift, the anointing upon that ministry will function even stronger. So I believe there's honor coming back to the prophetic. Often the prophetic has been dishonored, unrecognized, not dealt with, dismissed, not taught about, laughed at, and said it's not important. But we've honored the pastor, we've honored the teacher, we've honored the apostle, but sometimes the prophet, we kind of just looked at as a weirdo, a seer, a flake. And sometimes that is the case, because we do have some people that call themselves prophets that are not really operating proper under proper authority and operating in covenant with other prophets. And often they've been hurt and rejected, especially in the Old Testament when Israel was in rebellion. In the New Covenant community, because we're all prophetic, they should even be more honored and recognized, because all of us can prophesy. All of us are prophetic. So the prophet should find a place in the church and not be ostracized, kicked out, abandoned, imprisoned, beaten up, persecuted. That's Old Covenant. New Covenant, prophetic community, prophetic church. All of us are prophetic. All of us have the Spirit of God. And so the prophet has a home, a place of honor within the assembly, and begins to function with a great level of honor, and that honor will cause their prayer ministries, their intercessory ministries, really to function and to flourish within the local assembly. Again, I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book, God Still Speaks, and I've been recommending it now for, this is part 8 of the prophetic school, and really part 2 of the Shamar aspect of the prophetic ministry. Part 7 was Shamar 1. This will call Shamar 2. But go back and listen to every teaching, 1, 2, all the way through 8, including tonight. And I believe that as you listen, you're going to really begin to understand the different areas of the prophet's ministry. Personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, Shema prophet, prophetic teaching, prophetic worship, the different aspects of the prophetic ministry. And I believe that as a result, you'll get a much greater understanding of prophets, the prophetic, and get the book. Just go to johneckhartministries.com and you can order the book, and we'll get it out to you as soon as we get your order. Also, if you want to donate to Crusaders Church and support what I'm doing around the world, this year I'll be going overseas to Holland to preach. I'll be going to Thailand, to Colombia, to South Africa, to Mexico, to Curacao. And these are nations where we have been ministering for years and raising up prophetic teams and blessing and bringing deliverance and taking teams with us. And if you want to support and donate into what we're doing and what I'm doing as a pastor, as an apostle, or a missionary, you can do that. If you're blessed by the teachings, these are free of charge. We don't charge for this. If you're blessed by the teaching and you want to sow something, just go to crusaderschurch.org and you can donate through our website, and you can bless us. We'll receive it, use it to advance the kingdom, advance teaching, and see people get breakthroughs. If you're ever in the Chicago area and want to attend our church on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. or on Tuesday evenings at 7, we always have deliverance and prophetic ministry available. On Tuesday nights, we minister prophetically to all the first-timers that come. Some of them have never received prophetic ministry. We have prophetic teams available, and we meet every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. at 7859 South Ashland Avenue on the south side of Chicago. Or go to our website, crusaderschurch.org, and get the information. And we'll do everything in our power to bless you and to minister to you. Before I go, I want to bless you, and I want to pray, and I want to release the word of the Lord over you this evening. Father, I thank you for everyone that is tuned in to hear this teaching on the Shema aspect of the prophet's ministry. And Father, now I speak your word of life and your word of strength and your word of hope that is even coming now. And I say by the Spirit of God that I'm causing hope even to be stirred on the inside of those who felt discouraged and those who felt frustrated and those who felt as if I don't know what to do, I don't understand what I'm called to do, and now I'm causing there to be an identification of the watchmen, of the guards, of the Shamar aspect, of the intercessors, and I'm causing a new honor to come upon the prophets of in this day. And the prophets will no longer feel out of place, no longer feel as if I don't belong, no longer be suffered or suffer from rejection. No longer will they feel as if no one understands my ministry, and I'll cause there to be a new understanding in the house of God. And I'll cause leaders to stand up in this hour and even to function as elders to begin to position intercessors and gatekeepers in their place. And I'll cause the level of prayer to be raised up in this hour. And they'll not just be prayer, there'll be prophetic intercession. There'll be insights into my plans and purposes for the earth and for your region and for your city and for your territory. So know that in this hour, I'm causing my plans to be revealed, and I'm causing the seer's anointing to be stirred up. And you'll see clearly my plans and purpose, but you'll also see this assignments of hell. And the enemy will not be able to hide and to do what he desires to do. But oh, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will lift up a standard against him. And I'm causing a new standard to be raised up in the land. I'm causing a prophetic standard, a prophetic banner to be raised up in the land. And that prophetic banner shall thwart and stop the attacks of hell and bring frustration to the plans of darkness. But that'll also cause my plans and my purposes even to be established. established and to be released in different places, says the Lord. And I'll cause my plans and my purposes even to overwhelm and to overpower the plans of hell. And I'll cause glory and joy and revival and breakthrough to be your portion. And I'll cause churches that have been divided and have been hit even to grow again and even to be restored and even health to return. I'll cause sick churches even to be restored and healed through the prophet's ministry in this hour. I'll cause gates to be restored and walls to be repaired. And I'll cause the Nehemiahs to stand up and to bring restoration into desolate places. And I'll cause the repairs of the breach to arise. And I'll cause the apostles and the prophets to work together and the teachers to work together to rebuild, to instruct, to rebuke in the gate, to restore, and to cause my plans and purposes to be released. So know that you will not be hopeless, but I'm bringing hope and courage and strength to those even who are listening and those who are hearing my word. I'm causing a fresh fire and a fresh unction and a fresh passion and a fresh stirring even to be stirred up on the inside of you. And I'm causing it to be an impartation that shall come in your life, and you'll prophesy stronger and you'll prophesy with greater clarity and you'll see clearer and you'll no longer try to shut this gift down and you'll no longer say, I don't want it, it's too hard. But oh, you'll learn to walk in it, and you'll learn to walk in it strong, and you'll learn to operate in it, and you'll see the results of this grace and this anointing. So receive that impartation and receive the blessing that the word releases in this hour, and upgrade and come to a higher level of knowledge and understanding and revelation. Oh, walk in light and know that this is the day when light and glory and revelation are your portion, and you'll not walk in ignorance and darkness, but you'll walk in light and revelation, and you'll understand that things that some have considered deep, they'll not be deep or hidden to you, but it'll be a lifestyle. It'll be something you live in on a daily and a weekly and a monthly and a yearly basis. And so, Father, I bless those that are tuning in, and I release your word into their life, and I impart to them fresh anointing and fresh grace in the prophetic, Lord. Let the words I share tonight, Lord, bless them and those who view this broadcast for weeks and months and years to come. Let the grace and anointing upon this broadcast touch their lives, and let them be touched and blessed. And Lord, lead everyone to this broadcast. Those that need to hear, let them find it and let them listen and let them be blessed and let their life be shifted, changed, upgraded, and let them receive an impartation. I pray and I bless them and I speak shalom, favor, grace, and prosperity over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll try to do it again the same time next week. If my schedule permits, I believe it will. We'll announce it as we always do and give you the time. And I'll be back again to go into part number 9 of the prophetic school. Don't forget to go to our website, crusaderschurch.org, and you can look at the parts that you may have missed and catch up. And go to my website, johneckartministries.com, to order the book that I've been recommending, God Still Speaks, because God does still speak. He still speaks to us and blesses us. And until next week, as always, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. I love you.